It's 16 minutes past 10 right across regional South Australia, and I have just finished reading a marvellous little novel about a little-known era of Australian history and a little-known group of people at the time. The Chinese community, as much as they have always been part of Australian culture, have also been, in many ways, a mystery. Some of that mystery is peeled away in Gabrielle Wang's book, Little Paradise. Gabrielle, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Kieran.
You have a really deep history that goes back to the Gold Rush year. Your great-great-grandfather came out at that time. And you wanted to discover, when you were in your 20s, your own Chinese roots. So you went back to China and Taiwan, where you actually studied the language and painting as well.
That's right. As a child, I was totally ashamed of being Chinese, because growing up in a pretty well much white Australia, you only saw white faces. I was the only Asian kid in my school. So, you know, I grew up quite ashamed. But it wasn't until I was sort of left school and realised that we should celebrate our differences and that I should go and, you know, return to my roots, as they say, that I went back to China and stayed in Taiwan for 5 years, and then China for 2 years, and at the same time I studied Chinese painting, yes.
You've plumbed the intricacies of your own family history and paid homage to one of your aunts who was very, very creative. Has that creative streak flowed all the way down to you?
Actually, Karen, it was my mum.
Oh, it was your mum?
It's about, yes. And in fact, the lady on the front cover, that beautiful picture of a half a face and a beautiful Chinese blue dress, is actually my mum when she was 20.
Well, is that an actual photograph of your mum?
That's an actual photograph taken by a very famous photographer in Melbourne called Athol Smith. And, it's a beautiful photograph. So it was so great that we could use it on the cover.
And your mum's illustrations in the book are just fabulous.
I know. She just was so interested in fashion, and she never wanted to be a fashion... She didn't want to study fashion design because she couldn't stand drafting and making dresses. She designed clothes since she was 12 years old. And then she would have them made at a dressmaker's. And some of those drawings that she drew when she was 14 years old are in the end papers of the book, just in the front, the inside, the front and back covers.
They're just marvellous illustrations. And your hero, your main character in the book, has changed her name from Lei'an to Mirabelle. And Mirabelle is a really interesting character. She's very strong-willed, and she tries not to rebel against the tradition of her family. She ends up bringing shame on her family unit when she meets a young Chinese soldier and falls pregnant to him. And that is a time and the era. It wouldn't have mattered if she was a Chinese or white Australian. This was an era in late World War II when that was just a very shameful thing to be a single mum.
That's right. So she was sort of hit twofold. One, because it was the era. But as my mum keeps saying to me, you know, my mum's 85 and she's really lively and alert. She says, you know, you just don't know. You see that little old lady in the street, you don't know what she got up to when she was young, because there were so many American soldiers here stationed in Melbourne during the war. And, you know, they're all handsome and wore beautiful uniforms.
And they had money.
Exactly, they had money. They could buy silk stockings, and they had a special place where they could buy American goods. And all the Australian men were off at war. And so you had women who were already married, young girls. I mean, there was a terrible thing in Melbourne. You know, all the young girls, 13-year-olds, were out at night in the streets. I mean, we talk about, you know, the cities nowadays, but in those days it was just quite amazing. So, but it was a terrible shame for her family and for a girl of that time. And she went away, she took herself away to Adelaide when she was 8 months old to have the baby, to stay with her pen pal, her pen friend, who she'd never met before. But she needed to hide away the shame. And then the baby was going to be adopted out, but luckily, because he happens to be my brother, luckily he wasn't, I guess.
That part of the story is very, very moving, and I think young readers, particularly young girls, will really connect with that story of going against tradition. And you talk about, I mean, one of the sisters, Mirabelle's sisters, is very rebellious, and she goes out with American soldiers, and her parents don't really like that. They want her to be with a Chinese man. Our main character, our heroine, Mirabelle, meets a young Chinese soldier, JJ, and he works for the Nationalist Army in China. Now, China's being about to be torn apart by a huge civil war with the communists on one side and the Kuomintang on the other. And JJ is a Chinese soldier stationed in Australia. Did that happen during World War II? Did you do a lot of research on that area?
Well, actually, my father, and JJ is based on my father. I mean, you know, I mean, let me say before this is that the whole story is based on the love affair between my mother and father, but many of the things are fictitious. But the pregnancy is not fictitious. They were not married. The pregnancy is not fictitious, and the him going back to China and them not seeing each other for a couple of years.
How did your mum feel about you telling her story?
Well, she was really, really, she was very nervous. And in actual fact, some of the story of her having an illegitimate child had come out in a movie that my sister made that was put on ABC TV, and it has been shown about 3 times. So it has been out there. But she was just, you know, she told me, oh, don't put in that Mirabel goes to Adelaide because everybody will know it's me. You know, that's how much her mind and all these years she had focused on this shame that she felt. Not that she was shameful to have the baby, but the shame of, you know, the feeling inside her and all the bits that were related to the baby that she wrote when she wrote to my father when he'd gone back to China. She'd crossed all those out. So in the letters she has, she still keeps them. They're all got big black, you know, it's all blacked out so that in case somebody found them, nobody would know that she was not married when she had her baby.
I'm speaking to Gabrielle Wang, the author of her latest book called Little Paradise, about this relatively unknown period of Australian history. Gabrielle, in the story, Mirabel, as you mentioned, goes to Adelaide. She has a pen friend who she's never met. Now, that says something positive about some of the relationships between white Australians, just ordinary Australians, and the Chinese community at the time. I imagine there was also a whole lot of prejudice that your mum would have gone through, even more than you experienced. You don't really touch on that much in the book. Was that a conscious choice?
Well, it's funny you say that, because my mum, you know, I interviewed my uncles and aunt and my mother, and I asked all of them about the racial prejudice. Was there? Did they feel any? They grew up in a suburban neighbourhood out very close to Melbourne called Carlton. And there were, you know, I mean, they were just people like, they were migrants, lots of other Chinese, Jewish, the Italians hadn't migrated to Australia at that time yet. And so she told me she didn't feel any racial prejudice, and neither did my aunt and uncles. They fitted in very well. They had white friends as well.
And yet we had a white Australia policy.
We had a white Australia policy, that's right. But unlike me, when I grew up, and, you know, this here, the tables are turned, maybe because it was sort of post-war and, you know, you had some of the fathers who remembered that they had been in prisoner of war camp and, you know, all Asians, you know, in inverted commas, looked the same. Because I had an experience once where I met I was introduced to a friend. She wasn't a friend. She was somebody I just met. And her father was standing there, and he would not say hello to me. He just walked away. And then I learnt later that I was very deeply hurt by that. But then I learnt later that he was in a prisoner of war camp, and, you know, he couldn't get that memory out of his system. So I think when I grew up, you know, in the 50s and 60s, there was that hate of Asian faces.
And yet the Chinese had suffered as much, if not more, under the Japanese boot.
Absolutely, and that's something that I think, and people have said that to me. They have no idea that how long the Chinese suffered under the Japanese occupation since the 30s, for many years, and the brutality of the Japanese. And that's something that's a piece of history that I wanted to bring out in the book as well.
And you have done that so beautifully. I know that the feeling and the style of the book, for me, I think this will connect so well with young readers, because it's such, in many ways, an easy read that draws you through the story. But I think a lot of adults will get a lot from reading this book as well. And I think that's a marvellous achievement to have crossed both of those readership groups. And I think you've done it so beautifully in Little Paradise.
Thank you very much, Kieran.
Gabrielle Wang, it's been lovely to have you with us this morning. All the best with your continued work as an author. It's just been lovely to talk to you on the program.
Thank you. very much, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Gabrielle Wang and her book, Little Paradise.